Hello and welcome to Plot Trysts.
This is Lane.
This is Meg.
And today we're reviewing Earl's Trip by Jenny Holiday.
This was just published in 2024 and is the first in a new series whose title has not been named yet. I assume it's probably going to be called the Earl's Trip series.
And full disclosure, we did receive a complimentary copy for this review.
That's right. Should we just read the book jacket, Lane?
I want to verify, I think I know the answer. We've never read Jenny Holiday before, right?
We have never read Jenny Holiday before. Even an Earl needs his ride or dies, and Archibald Fielding Burton, the Earl of Harcourt, counts himself lucky to have two. Archie, the jock, Simon, the nerd, and Effie, the goth, have been BFFs since their school days, and their annual trip holds a sacred spot in their calendars. This year, Archie is especially eager to get away, until an urgent letter arrives from an old family friend begging him to help prevent a ruinous scandal. Archie's childhood pal Olive Morgan must be rescued from an ill-fated elopement, and her sister Clementine must be rescued from rescuing Olive. Suddenly, the trip has become Earls plus girls.
This complicates matters. The fully grown Clementine, well, as frank and refreshing as Archie remembers, is also different to the wild, windswept girl he knew. This Clem is complex and surprising, and adamantly opposed to marriage, which, for reasons Archie dare not examine too closely, he finds increasingly vexing.
Then Clem makes him an indecent and quite delightful proposal, asking him to show her the pleasures of the marriage bed before she settles into spinsterhood.
And what kind of gentleman would he be to refuse a lady?
Not any kind of gentleman at all. That's what kind.
I think this is actually a very good jacket.
I agree.
It gets at the main heart of the plot. And I also think the little asides about like the jock, the nerd, and the goth like get into sort of the modern overlay.
Yes. What is this book going to be? Yep. Agreed.
And I think whether or not this book works for you and you like it depends on how much you enjoy that, like, intentional juxtaposition.
Yeah. I mean, I have a whole plot. I have a whole question in here, which we'll get to. But, yeah.
Discussion, I answered it in writing.
Discussion question. It's coming.
And I answered it like a goddamn student.
Good job. You get an A.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
So, even though we said that jacket's great, we did have to write our own summaries because those are the rules. We generated a random number between 1 and 50 and wrote our own summaries using that number as the word count. And today's number is 36. So, Meg, what was your 36-word summary?
Clementine and Archie haven't seen each other for years. When they run into each other, they're both surprised to realize the other is hot and, like, really, really nice. Maybe even perfect? Oh, no.
Yeah, they're both fucked.
Yeah, they can't escape anymore.
They're doomed. Second they showed up in whatever weird castle they're at.
it's been fated. It's done. They cannot escape. This is so sinister level fated, but not sinister level weird.
Correct. I very deliberately had you go first.
Uh-huh. What's yours?
She is a vegetarian, and his only hobby is hunting. That's it. That's the conflict. He rescues Clem from her rescue of her sister and doesn't have to marry Clem, but boy, does he want to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, that is the conflict. I'm going to be honest. Fucking loved it.
Great.
Tropes. They're friends to lovers, guys.
And childhood neighbors, we've absolutely seen this a billion times. Their dads were friends, but especially after his dad dies, they don't really stay in touch, and he's sort of missed the woman she's grown into.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that, but we'll talk about it more. Talk about friends to lovers a lot more. Close proximity, because they are all living in a castle. Basically, Clementine and Olive crash the Earl's Trip, so they're all together now in a big old castle. It's not that big.
It isn't.
They managed to avoid each other more than I wish they had.
I'm correct, as always. You're a genius. Why aren't you in charge of this?
That's the question.
The book jacket tells you it's a sex lessons book. Basically, she was engaged to this dingus piece of shit. She broke off the engagement to said dingus, but then her sister runs off with the guy. And that's how this whole plot gets set in motion. But she did have sex with said dingus before she broke it off with him. And she doesn't regret it. It was a learning experience, but this is totally one of those. The sex is so tropey here. He just, I don't know. It's pleasant for men, but I don't really know what was in it for me. And she's never thought to touch herself before. And she spends the, like, while she is a naturalist who has observed people in the wild, she absolutely thinks about how his body compares to the statues.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a, I need sex. You've said I could have fun with it. So show me.
She's like, can you, you said it was like fun for girls, but like, I don't believe you. So can you please prove it?
And he does.
He does. Man,
when she said she'd never touched herself, I was like, seriously?
I mean, I know. Look, that was, I'm going to be honest. I really, really liked this book. And that was the one part that I was like,
Yeah. So she's gotten into this situation because of a like anything for my sister scenario.
Oh, yeah.
That's obviously true. Super tropey. She is almost on the shelf. And her father is refusing to acknowledge that fact or let her have her independence, which is what sort of prompted all of this reckless behavior. We have seen that a billion times.
Oh, can I say, can I say also that there's a found family in this book?
We're going to talk about that.
I know. I know we will.
Jesus. Yeah, found family. But yeah, her whole shtick is the I'm never going to get married, largely because women are so property. So she originally thought about marrying this one guy because she thought it would be give her more independence than being single, but she's come to realize that's all a farce. So she is opposed to matrimony on the grounds of not wanting to be a man's property.
That, and also just like, she's not, she's gonna have to, she has understood what being a helpmeet means, which is that you must subsume all of your desires into his.
And she's not interested in that future.
Yep. Which, so, you know, fair.
Those are the tropes I wanted to talk about before you launch into Friends to Lovers. The rest of them, if we may stumble into more along the way, but we have better conversations to have.
Yeah. I want to talk about Friends to Lovers just really briefly because I think this book does what I really like when Friends to Lovers does it. One of the things that I hear people complaining about Friends to Lovers is that, like, if you guys are so good for each other, then why have you just been friends for years and years and years and all of a sudden you see each other differently? I feel like being childhood friends and then being separated for a little bit and then coming back together is like the perfect way to do Friends to Lovers.
I don't think I've ever complained about Friends to Lovers, the unbelievable part being that they didn't realize they had feelings for whatever reasons. So like, this is not my complaint, but sure.
I'm not saying the way you made this complaint. I'm not saying that you made this complaint. And also, I think you and I in general like Friends to Lovers.
Well, especially when the alternative is enemies to lovers.
I mean, yeah. Correct. I like Friends to Lovers a lot. But I also, I think this is like my favorite kind of Friends to Lovers, which is that they have these like really good memories of each other and they really like each other. And when they meet each other again, they still have those wonderful feelings of friendship, but now on top, I mean, this was my whole summary, but on top of that, now they're like, oh, wait, this is my friend, but also, oh my God, like, that's not how I remember my friend. You know,
she's got boobs and he's got boners.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
They also didn't have a falling out, so there's nothing to forgive, which is awesome. God, you know, yep. I love the low angst.
I know. This is the lowest, may possibly be the lowest angst book I have read this year.
I've
read a lot of books.
It lowers the floor a lot on how much angst you require to have a book.
Yep.
The only thing that keeps it from being the lowest possible amount is what went down with her ex-fiance.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And his mother's condition.
Yes.
That was the angstiest part of the book for me.
Absolutely. There is still a plot in this book. I will say there's still a plot. It's not just two characters hanging out.
It's mostly two characters hanging out.
But it's not. I have realized about myself recently. And again, this is because we talk about two books a week, literally every single week. And we've been doing it for 5 years now. And I've realized a lot of stuff about myself, but I'm still learning new things about what I like to read. And one of the things I've learning is that I always thought I was like a character forward person, but for me, plot is important. Like I want something for these characters to do. This is what we complain about Lisa Kleypas, for example, like her plots are just a lot of things that happen. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like there was a plot.
Plots are things that happen is not exactly a controversial statement. I know what you mean, but like.
it's just like stuff that happens. Like that's not a plot. A plot is there's a beginning, there's a middle, there's an end. Like there's an arc, there's a story arc, right? Mm-hmm. And there is a story arc here. And I appreciated that. I said it. I said what I said, and it's true.
Sure.
Okay. Shall we talk about historical accuracy and then get into some other stuff?
Sure.
Let's talk about historical accuracy. This is something that Lane and I talk about relatively often since we read so much historical romance. In general, historical accuracy is not that important to us.
Agree. Don't care.
Right? This book really leans in to a lot of modern sensibility.
Right. So I would call this one not so much historically inaccurate because let's be honest, they're at like a weird castle in Scotland with no other people around. So you're not getting a whole lot of history lessons or social conventions. This leans into historical anachronism.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not somebody who is like reading my books for, well, this person said, okay. And the first actual usage of okay was like, I don't care. I could not care less. But I really am. There is a line to me of how much modern sensibility and like modern way of thinking and modern politics I can handle in a historical romance. And this did jump over that line so far for me that yeah. I spent most of the book being like, okay, like, well, thank you. Stand on your pedestal and explain the modern world to me and while wearing a ball gown, go for it. I don't care.
Yeah. I don't know. It didn't bother me. I think partially because she obviously knew what she was doing and had chosen to do this, right? This was a deliberate choice. It was not a whoops, I used okay there. I read a book recently, it's a Regency, and he had a horse that he named Rasputin. And I was like,
okay, no, obviously there's degrees, and I know when Rasputin was alive, so yeah, that one would bug me too.
I was like, oh, I don't like that, you know? And I am actually a person that okay might bother. Like, it might bother me if someone used okay in a Regency.
Okay, yeah, it would not bother me. That's the type of historical inaccuracy. Like, do I know exactly when the Regency period ended and when Empire Waste came into fashion? No. Could I Google that easily? Yes. But am I like micro reading these books for those types of mistakes? No. As long as the vibes are right, I'm fine. Naming a horse Rasputin ruins the vibes.
Yep.
All of the discussion of vegetarianism, found family, the fact that his superpower is love. I was like, I can't do this.
Yeah. For me, because she was like, this is not a mistake. This is a choice. This is the book that I am writing. I was into it.
I don't mean this as a comparison because like I recognize it is not the same. But in the same way, some authors deliberately write books that explore really traumatic things.
Uh-huh.
And like it's on purpose, but it's just not my thing.
Yeah.
I totally recognize this was on purpose. It was not my thing.
Yeah. I guess it was my thing because I was like, sure. Yeah, this is great. Like, this is possibly the least toxic hero I have ever read in my entire career of reading like any romances. And I love a non-toxic hero. This guy is like the most evolved hero of all time.
Sure. Because he clearly has access to 21st century therapy.
Yeah. Which is amazing because he needs that in his life. Oh my God. This poor guy.
I could have handled him being non-toxic if everyone hadn't said the quiet parts out loud. I think love a non-toxic hero. I don't love the mansplaining or like the preachiness. Some of this book got real preachy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It just, I guess it just hit me at the right time. I was into it. I don't know. Like, what else do you, is there anything else to talk about? I am silent right now. So.
Oh, I would just say, so this book is about this group of five people, really, that are trapped at this house. Each has their own issues and are getting to know each other. One of the things I found really frustrating is I did find some of the characters to be so, like, unbelievably forthright about certain things and unbelievably secretive about others in a way that just seemed to serve the plot and not actually, like, focus on the consistency of the characters, especially Olive. Olive's behavior throughout this book never made sense to me. Like, I didn't feel like her character was progressing from one scene to the next. And especially when, like, a big part of Clem's character growth is seeing her sister as a full, complete person. Clem's having these realizations about how great Olive is beneath the surface, while I'm sitting there being like, Olive doesn't have anything beneath the surface because Olive is whatever the author wants her to be in that minute. Yeah. So I found, like, some of that contrast really frustrating. Again, I was already annoyed at, like, the central conceit of the book, which was well done. I just did not like it. I recognize that. That I found the, like, all of this supposed to be, like, realizing how much other people are mirrors and just reflecting what we want to see back at us. I think I needed to have much better established characters who were not just, like, mouthpieces of various ids in order for that to work for me.
Yeah, I don't know. I just dug it. The whole thing was good for
me. Also, the sister betrayal stuff was weird. I just found a lot of the choices in this book kind of weird. I do want to say there's one thing I fucking loved.
Yeah.
And it was the very beginning. But oh, yeah? I liked that they got this invitation to come rescue the girls on the way to their boys' weekend. And they were all like, okay, change of plans. This Guy Earl's trip is now going to be a rescue operation.
Yeah.
And the fact that that rescue operation took all of 6% of the book.
Oh.
I was so prepared for this book to have been like road trip rescue moments, which I would have been here for, don't get me wrong. But I thought the choice to resolve that really quickly and pack all that action into the first 5-10% of the book.
Yeah.
Was so cool. That I also think the fact that the rest of the book was just them hanging out at a house together. I was like, but you gave me an action sequence. I liked that romp. And this is no longer a romp.
Yeah. I don't know. I really liked it. I mean, I already said I liked basically everything in this book except for like one thing, you know? So I don't know. I do feel like there are books right now that are... They are trying to toe the line that Lane was talking about, right? So they're trying to have these non-toxic heroes and these conversations about found family, but they don't want to use the word found family, so they like dance around it. And I just like that she was like, you know, fuck that. Like, I'm just gonna say it's a found family.
I get what you're saying, and I understand why it's valuable, especially as like a contribution that no one else is doing. Didn't work for me. The one thing, if I had an actual note that I don't think is just my own personal preference for Jenny Holiday, people can cry without bursting into tears. I think the fact that every time anyone showed like a sad or overwhelmed emotion, they were described as bursting into tears, made everyone seem all that more like hysterical and over the top. There were several emotional sequences where I thought she could have been like, aghast and a tear trickled down her face, but instead it was burst into tears. I don't think every time that phrase was used, that was actually what was happening. And it made the whole thing feel like way more overwrought and weird than it need to be, especially as it pertained to the preachy vegetarianism.
Yet again, it didn't bother me, and I'm not even a vegetarian. Like, I eat meat and I am totally fine with it.
Oh, it's not the concept of being vegetarian that I was bothered by. Clearly that is fine. I also think if you're going to delve into a social issue like that and be as explicitly anachronist as she was, you kind of have to recognize the inherent class privilege in being able to make dietary choices like that in a way this text never engaged with.
Well, that's actually very interesting too, because I do think that I mean, if we're going to be weird about it, I think for the most part, a lot of, like, throughout time, people have been primarily vegetarian, like, and meat is, like, very, like, I guess flexitarian is the term, right? Mm-hmm. But they wouldn't have said that, you know?
Right. Meat is a delicacy of the upper classes, but the lower classes certainly weren't being picky about what they consumed. And especially in this era, I do think, like, cheap meat pies and all of those kinds of things were a lot of the food of the lower class.
Mm, I mean, depends on where they are, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, absolutely. But I'm not claiming, again, to be, like, an expert on history, but I thought going into the ethics of meat consumption and being really upset about the idea of it and being as to be this on the nose about certain things in a modern context and not recognize the wider social context of vegetarianism felt like an obvious oversight to me.
Yeah.
This poem annoyed me and I'm not being fair.
I mean, again, there's nothing else I can say other than, like, I really liked this. I found this relaxing and, like, not stressful and very much an escapist book. And I loved it. You know, like, what can I say? Content warnings. There are some content warnings for a book that we were just like, it's super escapist. And, like, there's no conflict in this book. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, as Lane said, Clem, quote unquote, gave away her virginity. And while she doesn't necessarily regret it, it did lead to wider consequences in the book.
He also had the thought that really annoys me. I don't want to tell her how many people I slept with because I now regret all of them and I wish she'd been my first.
Aw. I was not annoyed at all.
This is going to be my episode summary of this book. Yeah. Like, not annoyed at all.
Yeah, you can say it. That's fine. There is a parent with dementia in this book.
Yeah.
And it's probably the most difficult part of the book. I mean, for, like, anyone to read, honestly.
It's got the feel-good romance novel ending as much as a degenerative disease can have.
Yeah, yeah. But it's sad. And there is a character who's dealing with, like, undisclosed grief. So in a very, you know, unhealthy way.
Yeah.
Okay. How sexy was this book?
There were a couple of scenes, but they were really short and not particularly graphic.
Yes. That said, because of the whole point of the sex lessons, the whole point of the sex scene is for her to get off, right?
Yeah.
So keep that in mind too.
Look, the moral of the sex scenes was A+.
Right, exactly. I did feel
from
like
the time that he puts his finger on her clit to the time she comes is literally a sentence and a half.
Yeah, I mean, you assume there's a little more time spent, but yeah.
Right, I'm just saying in terms of, like, what is on the page textually, yeah. It's not very explicit.
That's fine.
It's not censored.
It's not censored. I do want to say that it felt appropriate for this book, if that makes sense.
It does.
Like, if it had been a wild, crazy Elizabeth Hoyt level sex scene, I would have been like, this feels a little out of place.
Everything about this book felt intentional.
Yes. Yes.
I will give it that.
I was going to say, that is something we can agree on. anyway, I don't know. Are you interested in reading more in the series, Lane?
No.
Okay, it's good to know.
I mean, this, I will say, I admire the intentionality of it. And if you read her next book and you're like, she did a different thing, I would be very willing to try a different thing. But if the next book in the series has the same, like, voice, probably not this series.
You know that I'm going to read the next book and I'm going to love it. And I'm not going to know whether you're going to like it or not, Lane. So
I don't know how to help myself.
Yeah,
I don't know how to help you, but this is not your problem. This is my problem.
Yeah, I mean, at least you admit it. No, I'm kidding. You can read the first page and decide, I guess. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, the next one is about Effie, right? So.
Effie and the sister?
Mm-hmm. No, not the sister. The person, you did not continue to read the next thing. Effie and his mystery correspondent.
Yeah, but I'm hoping they break up. And I'm shipping Effie and the sister, and I'm shipping the companion to the Alzheimer's mom and Simon.
Me too. That's who I'm shipping with Simon.
Okay, just checking.
But Effie and the sister are not ending up together, though. It's gonna
Do
be
I have to like a book to have really intense feelings about the romance family tree? No.
No, of course not. You're a romance reader. Please.
No. This is worth checking out if you like that sort of double voice thing that I think is happening in a lot of modern romances right now. I mean, historical romances, but being written in the modern day. Check it out. I think it's a well-done version of that. I just don't think I like that very much.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Rate, review, and subscribe if you're enjoying the podcast.